buckle up. It's showtime.
Sports get so much attention, and so many people tune out the real world, that I try to take advantage of the opportunities to talk about the real world when sports lends itself to that and try to open people's eyes. I did not go as far as I would like to go because my thoughts on the NRA and America's gun culture, I believe the NRA is the new KKK.
Wow.
And that the arming of so many black youth and loading up our communities with drugs and then just having an open shooting gallery is the work of people that, you know, obviously don't have our best interest.
And welcome to the show, folks. It is Reese on the radio, live on blogtalkradio.com. It is December the 14th, 2012. A somber day, folks. A very, very somber day. And a day that we'll remember collectively for a little bit of time. I think we'll pay attention to this for a considerable amount of time. This is one that is not easily going to go away. But it's a somber day. Very sad day. Happening right before our eyes. And why this is one of those days is because, of course, the victims in this case. When we hear the story about one child being killed, what comes to mind? The Tucson shooting, where Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was shot through the head. A 9-year-old girl lost her life, unfortunately, in that melee by a maniac who ended up pleading guilty. He was what we call on Reese on the radio a denunt. He did not have all of his faculties, sadly. We look at the victims of Virginia Tech. Hey, go all the way back to Columbine. And we also have the Aurora, Colorado shooting. And we talk about how children were in a movie theater at midnight when that shooting took place by another deranged young man. Folks, this one is different because there are two very big elements here. The biggest element is that although we have not learned, it is being suspected that the 20 children who died here in Newton, Connecticut, may very well be kindergarten children. That makes this very, very emotional. You can't help but feel for that kind of tragedy. I'm not saying that the older people who have died in the aforementioned tragedies mean nothing, but it's something that's done to you as a human being when you hear that young children have died and were shot and killed, very innocent people. It's the essence of innocence. Now I have to go into another direction. It's being reported from the New York Post that the shooter, Adam Lanza, according to his brother Ryan, who had been at first reported to be the shooter, Adam Lanza, the 20-year-old, 4 years the junior of his brother. It appears that Ryan Lanza, the older brother, has spoken to the police department, and reports are saying that Ryan says that his brother is autistic. That changes the scope of all of this. Because when you start looking at this from that perspective, ladies and gentlemen, it means a whole different thing. We can talk about those who are deranged, those who have psychological problems, those who are just hell-bent on evil. But if there's any truth to this report that Adam Lanza, who took his own life in that school after committing such an act of evil. Oh, hell, he shot his mother in the face. According to reports, he woke up that morning, walked in on his mom, shot her in the face, got in her car, and drove to the school. Autistic? JC, please find me out some information on us. Can autistic people drive? Can autistic people function to a point where they can just get in the car and drive? I mean, I know we have our rudimentary thinking of those who are autistic. We immediately go to movies like Rain Man and Dustin Hoffman's character. Can an autistic person drive and commit this kind of evil? Because then a whole nother argument comes out. No people, none of the people who are advocates for autistic children are going to allow this to go on. They're not going to let people demonize autism. No one is going to let that happen. We need to keep this focus on gun control, which I'll get into in a second. But that's where they're going to point the direction of conversation, so to speak. That's what's going to be the conversation here, folks. Nothing I could think of in my mind could be worse in all of this to then think that aside from such an evil act, because you have to ask yourself, how callous can a person be? A 20-year-old? And don't get me wrong here, folks, because I know you will. Don't get me wrong here. Going into a school, you know, you don't like your professors, you don't like the deans, you don't like the faculty, you don't like stuff, you don't like those people, whatever it might be. You go into a school and you start firing off some rounds, but, you know, you don't touch the children. You have those people out there who just, they're so callous, but that's just beyond them. But this is just, these are kids. And if it's true, if indeed it's learned, when we find out, and we will in a day or two, I'm sure in the next 24 hours we'll know more. But if we find out that there were kindergarten children that were killed, 4 and 5 year olds. 4 and 5 year olds. You know, I don't know if anybody remembers that Russian massacre some 6-7 years back where they held up the school and they were killing children inside that school. See, those kind of radicals, that's the norm for them. You know, this is something we see in the Middle East. You know, radical Islamists. You know, we see that everywhere. JC, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you also have to factor in, Reese, that this was an elementary school that only went up to the 5th grade. Now, when we were in school, I know my elementary school, we went up to the 6th grade, then we went to middle school, then on to high school.
As did mine, right, as did mine.
But this only went up to the 5th grade.
Well, no, hold on. That's not true. My junior high school was 6 through 8.
Right. That's junior high school. This is all elementary.
Yeah, so this school only went up to the 5th grade or to the 4th grade?
Up to the 5th.
Okay, yeah, so the regular school.
Yeah, so I mean that's how you factor in the ages.
Oh, yeah,
I mean
come on. I mean, a junior high school would have still, even a junior high school, if an 8th grader or a 6th grader had dealt with this kind of tragedy, we'd all be saying, it's like, nah, come on, man, that's still sick.
Yeah, it's still sick.
High school in Columbine, we're going, you know, everybody looked at that as, you know, high school's tough for these kids. Kids get bullied in high school. It's a culture. You know, it's a social sort of hotbed of different individuals. You got the jocks and the druggies and the princesses.
Well, in high school, you
kind of
expect that. In high school, you kind of expect that, you know, somebody would try to do something about it. You know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying, JC. The reason why this makes it so different in so many aspects is in public school, and I don't care where you're from or where you've been, you may hear about bullying in grade schools. And, you know, they teach the grade school children, don't bully, tell a teacher, you know, help them out. You see that, most of that happens in junior high schools where you see that kind of bullying. But grade schools, kindergarten, first, second grade, those kids love each other. Those kids care about each other. Those kids, when they're excited to go to school on Monday, because they get
play
to
day
I get
children.
To see Jimmy today.
Yeah, play date children.
Yeah, exactly. That's the age that they're in. I can't wait to get to school because I like Mrs. Flood and I like Timmy and I like Melissa and we're gonna paint today. Oh man, they love school, except
right.
for the first day. But kindergarten children, I mean, they don't know anything about this kind of violence or carnage. They know nothing about it. And as an individual, when you walk in there, you know, I advise anybody to do this. If you want to get a real, real good scope of why this bothers me so much, yesterday Mary and I were watching Jimmy Kimmel Live. And Jimmy Kimmel featured this one little, I guess he was a 5-6-year-old kid. I don't know how old he was. And he was telling the story of Christmas. The kid was from England. And just watch it on YouTube. This kid, he's rambling on, he's just talking, and the producer gives him the microphone, and he's just talking. He can't stop talking about Christmas, and then he starts rambling on about other stuff, but all he wants to do is for people to pay attention to him, because kids just want to be paid attention to. They just want to be noticed, and that's, you know, and I totally understand that. I get that. I come from that, and here, you look at that, I don't know how anybody could walk into that classroom, see those poor little children scared to death, probably, and you decide, in a matter of seconds, F it. I'm killing them. And if it's true that this young man was autistic, it opens the floodgates to a million different things.
Well, you know, now that you've mentioned that, I mean, everybody is really, I mean, they're huge on this autism things with the kids. But they kind of forget that these kids do grow up.
Exactly.
And nobody really talks about what happens to these kids when they grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Where do they end up? How are they cared for? Who at least watches them? But
right.
I know in lots of cases, especially if they're highly functioning autistic children, they then develop what people tend to call Asperger syndrome.
Okay.
I know this kid with Asperger syndrome, and yeah, he drives.
He does drive.
Yeah, he does. But this kid at times will totally flip out. He used to come watch wrestling at my house years ago. He would totally flip out and just disappear.
Mm.
Disappear, and they'd find him like 2-3 days later elsewhere. 2-3 days later elsewhere, not knowing what happened to him.
Yeah.
But he somehow was finally, he finds his way home. Just recently in Connecticut, we had a case where this kid disappeared riding his bike. And what happened was, he had to get rid of his horse.
Okay.
And this kid rode his 10-speed. He was a teenager. And he went lost for like maybe a good 5 or 6 days. Well, they found him down on the shoreline, Connecticut shoreline. And he drove about a good 45-minute drive, maybe about a good 40-50 miles away from where he lived, but he was on his damn bike looking for his horse.
Hmm. Well, see,
So there is some function there. But what this kid has done today, I question that whole autism thing, because what this guy managed to do today took some thought.
Right.
It took some major thought that I can't imagine anyone with autism putting together. I mean, you can't put it, most folks, and I mean, I'm not saying this to make fun or anything, but I mean, come on, you can't even put together at times a sentence, much less lunch, a complete lunch, but you're going to put together a murder, two different crime scenes, and know enough that if you're mad at your mom to go, I mean, where are you going to go to kill where and who she loves the most? Is her students?
Yeah.
That takes, I can't see a highly functioning autistic individual putting that together. I can't see it. Mm. Maybe there's reports or other stories out there similar to this, but if he was autistic, then that kind of changes the whole thing.
Well, they're saying this, and I'm going to read directly from the New York Post, who is reporting this. They're saying police in Hoboken questioned Lanz's older brother, Ryan, who's 24 years old, but an official told the Associated Press he is not believed to have been involved in the rampage. In fact, there were earlier reports that said that when all of this was going on and when Ryan Lanza was identified, people had immediately contacted him when they showed his picture on the news. He started Facebooking back to all of his friends and others, "It's not me. I was at work. It's not me. You guys are kidding. I didn't do this." So anyway, as it goes on, they say...
Remember I told you I found that page?
I know.
It had been updated like 50 minutes at that point.
Right. Now, the shooter, Adam Lanza, was found with an ID that bore his brother's name, a law enforcement source said, but there was no indication that it was stolen. A source told the Post that Ryan has told investigators he last saw Adam in 2010 and that Adam is autistic. Ryan Lanza has a Facebook page and he posted updates on Friday afternoon. Yeah, this is the comment I just made where he said it wasn't me. So that in and of itself freaks me the hell out, because I'm going, if his brother is saying, I mean, I don't think he's saying that to cover for his brother. His brother's dead. He doesn't have to cover for his brother as far as any criminal prosecution is concerned.
Right.
But if his brother, if it's believed or if it's identified that his brother is indeed autistic, the question's going to be, you know, it won't turn to guns. It's going to turn to autism. And there's nobody. See, this is where the media is going to catch itself in a quagmire. It's going to catch itself in a duel in and of itself. Because now we've got to say, how do we deal with autism in this tragedy? And how do we deal with autism with guns in this tragedy? Because everyone who is a gun proponent is now going to say what? This kid was autistic. What was he doing with guns?
Right.
How did he get access to guns? They're the first thing they're going to ask.
And that's a liberal argument all along.
No. It won't be a liberal argument. That'll be my argument. You have an autistic 20-year-old in the child? I mean, in the house? An autistic 20-year-old in the house. And you don't have to keep the guns away from an autistic? If he's autistic, he's like a 5-year-old. It would be like keeping a gun out with a 5-year-old. So the argument's going to be, and most people are going to, they're going to push back. Whoa, this kid was autistic and you had these kinds of weapons in the house? And that's what the reports are. These guns were owned by the mother. These were not purchased at some gun show.
A preschool teacher.
I hear she's not a teacher. I hear she's a teacher's aide.
Oh, no, I'm hearing teacher. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, no, that's just the latest report. Everything's been all over the place on this story. But the bottom line is that now, with all of this going on and people looking for a way to advantageously turn this into a gun control issue, you got an autistic kid, presumably or assumably. Autistic.
Oh, no, buddy. Obama's already done that.
Well, you mean to make this political? Oh, yeah,
oh,
I know.
Of course.
I know. I heard the statements today. In fact, I totally forgot to get that audio where he says something's got to be done no matter what your political
leanings
are.
Something meaningful.
Yes, something meaningful, which only means one thing, goddammit, and that means how are we going to get gun control in this country?
Right.
And they're talking about something on a federal level. And they're going to use this tragedy and they're going to use those poor kids, use each and every one of them as a template to get gun control in this country. It's disgusting, but it's very true. When we get back, we got more news, more views. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around.
America, I'm Chuck Woolery with today's Save Us Chuck Minute. My fellow Americans, there is no doubt that it's tragic when anyone takes the life of another without cause, but to blame assault weapons would be like blaming airplanes for the 9/11 attack. The problem lies with the perpetrator, not the gun. So why should we have assault weapons? Number one, the Constitution. It's still the law of the land, and the Second Amendment says I have the right to bear arms. Number two, it allows for people to protect themselves even from the government if necessary. Lessons learned from living under King George. Number three, the threat of armed citizens deters foreign invaders, like Japan in World War II, who feared we would have a rifle behind every blade of grass. Number four, all guns are dangerous in the wrong hands, so it makes no sense to selectively ban some. Number five, the gun industry employs about 184,000 people. Ban the guns, those people become unemployed. Or isn't unemployment a problem anymore? I'm Chuck Woolery. To talk to me directly, go to Twitter at Chuck Woolery.
Thank you. What is my bidding, honest?
Don't go anywhere. Reason Radio returns right here on blogtalkradio.com. On the radio, live right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is the bottom of the hour on December the 14th, 2012. We're supposed to get a phone call from Jay King tonight. I'm hoping that he does call in and he hasn't forgotten, but it's been a long day. He may have. We'll see whether or not he actually does call in or not. He is dying to get into the debate with me. Jay King in the morning. By the way, look him up on blogtalkradio.com. I'm often on his show. They love me on there. There's a whole bunch of liberal Negroes over on there on that show, so they love it when I call in. They can't stand me, as most Negroes don't. They hate me. Nothing new. But I go in there and I face the fire. They're afraid to come on my show. They're scared to death to come on my show. But I invite them all the time. Come into the fire. But, you know, I'm not going to use anything, you know, vicious. You know, I'm like punk bitches, you know, suckers, you know, pussies. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. But, you know, I invite them. I always invite them. Come on my show. Debate it out with me. You know, it's your show. You know, you control that. Come in the den. Come in a real den and deal with the topics. Get your mic shut off. But nobody's got the courage to do that, and I understand that, especially when you don't have the facts at you don't have the facts at your fingertips, as I do, or as at least I try to do, which I do better than some, if not most.
I mean, come on, anyway, we're talking about in general people who tend to push forth their own narrative and beliefs and opinions and try to pass them as fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They may pick up a fact or two on TV and without understanding what led up to that fact or the conversation before or after. Mm-hmm. They basically hear what it is that they want to hear.
It's MSNBC over there at half of these shows. Donna Colleone, too. You know, I love you, sweetheart, but you know what the deal is. They all agree with you. You have no opposition there.
They're afraid to leave the plantation.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody agrees with you. That's not a show. You know, the guys come on here, most of them agree with me, but I debate. White Mike calls up here all the time. When he and I don't agree, we go at it. You know, when people call up here, Real Talk Blanchers has called up here, I've crapped all over those guys.
Yeah.
You know, those who have enough guts, they come into the den, you know, and they deal with it. But that's fine. Jay King, if he calls tonight, you know, hopefully he will, come in and check out the show. A lot of them were just like, nah, I ain't going on here. Probably because they know they probably get that ass tore up. But that's
punks.
Okay. I'm not hurt. Enough people
who
check
it
out the show.
Who listens to a show where just to hear the host give himself a BJ? Are you kidding me?
Well, pretty much with the help of his supporters on the show, he's like, "Oh, we agree, we're like minded," and that's when I go in there. You know, when I go into those places, I like to stir it up, and they know that. But I don't go in there to stir it up just with some hyperbole. You know, I come in there with facts. And we'll break down, and they always try to shut me up. But anyway, enough of that. Let me get into this thing about about the gun debate that's happening now.
Oh, okay.
Now,
where are they going to go with it?
Say again? I didn't hear you, JC.
I said, and where are they going to go with it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's get into this. So I'm reading a Yahoo News article, which is now an affiliate of ABC News. Don't let me have to tell you this, folks. ABC News is nothing more than, you know, the nut hugger of the Obama administration. Now, I'm reading what it is that they wrote here. In other words, the title of the article is Calls for Greater Gun Control After Mass Shooting at School. Now, the headline in and of itself, Calls for More Gun Control. Not that there is a debate about gun control. It's calls for more gun control. Let me read it to you. Let me see if I get the writer here. Hold on. Who's the writer of this article? I always like to get the writer. Claudine Zapp is the writer of this story. And she wrote it about 5 hours ago. So roughly, what are we talking, 3 o'clock when she wrote it? Anyway, she writes, "The horrific shooting at the Newton, Connecticut Elementary School that left multiple people dead, including, it's believed, 20 children, has reignited the gun control debate. Public figures immediately jumped in to offer condolences, while others called for new restrictions. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said he was, quote, shocked and saddened by the tragic shooting, end quote. He said society should unify to crack down on the guns. And New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said, quote, immediate action was needed. Mark Kelly, husband of former Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, who was gravely injured by a gunman in Tucson in 2011, wrote on Facebook, the children of Sandy Hook Elementary School and all victims of gun violence deserve leaders who have the courage to participate in a meaningful discussion about our gun laws and how they can be reformed and better enforced to prevent gun violence and death in America. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi tweeted, no words can console the parents of the children murdered at Sandy Hook. We share our prayers and our grief over these horrifying events. U.S. Representative Nita Lowry of New York added, to the call for gun limits, saying in a statement, "Our expressions of sympathy must be matched with concrete actions to stop gun violence." Colorado Governor John Hinkenlooper, whose state experienced both Columbine in 1999 and the shooting in Aurora, Colorado, this year offered his support in a statement. "The shooting in Connecticut is absolutely horrific and heartbreaking. We know too well what the impact this kind of violence has on a community and our nation. Our thoughts and prayers are immediately with the families of those killed. We can offer comfort, but we all know the pain will stay forever." I don't know how it has anything to do with a gun debate. Anyway, the debate in social media was fast and furious. Trending topics on Twitter included Second Amendment, NRA, and Columbine. Rose McCall, I have no idea who this is, she wrote, "Senseless. The Second Amendment is not what was originally set up, not what, it was originally set up to be. Has to be more gun control." Daniel Stewart, I guess these are just average citizens. Daniel Stewart tweeted, "Any American who would prefer to see this on their TV rather than lose the Second Amendment have no humanity. Sheer horror." Now, comedian Sarah Silverman, she wrote, "Band-aids on band-aids. NRA people want more access to guns to combat all people with access to guns." Mediaite tweeted about MSNBC host Andrea Mitchell's editorializing on air, who said, "When we talk about gun violence in this country, we are talking about Second Amendment rights." She also called gun violence as an epidemic. Filmmaker Michael Moore, who made a documentary about the Columbine school shooting called Bowling for Columbine, tweeted, "Too soon to speak about a gun-crazy nation? No, too late. At least 31 school shootings since Columbine." One of the idiots at The Daily Show writes, "The NRA politicians will now tell us that this is a tragedy, could have been prevented if the children carried guns." He's also too stupid to realize that in England, the teachers carry guns. I guess they're a progressive nation, aren't they? Does he know that? Does he have any idea? Of course not. And since I had to be interrupted, hey, I never said that I was taking that down today.
I asked you to.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't. Now let me get back to my show. Thank you.
Kiss my ass. You want to be a smart ass on the air? Kiss my ass.
It's going to be a fight. No guns involved. Anyway, bottom line.
I got 20 on a white woman.
You're about to lose that 20. Anyway, plenty of people also defended gun rights. Sam Ewings, for instance, wrote, "The only gun reform we need is to allow people the ability to defend themselves, not provide nut jobs with easy targets." And I guess this person's name is Joseph Smith. He writes, "Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Practice the Second Amendment. Keep your gun loaded with you at all times. The younger you are, the better." And someone named Little Cuddy tweeted, "Changing the Second Amendment won't stop people from doing foolishness." Now, they completely bombarded this article with people who are against gun violence. People who are against the Second Amendment. And just for some, you know, to make it a little parallel, we're just going to put in a couple of people in there who disagree. And the bottom line is that no matter what it is that you believe, you're an idiot to think that the guns had anything to do with this. If there's any truth to the fact that Adam Lanza that Adam Lanza was autistic. Any truth to it? The argument will go in another direction. It has to. And there's no choice but for it to go into another direction. And we'll see whether or not that develops as we watch the news tomorrow. We'll be back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
Another sister shooting hair, Rhonda Morris. Amputees in Freetown, Sierra Leone's. The turns wasn't on us. The state put the youth in a harness, creating hostility among us. The teacher said no college. Still kid gotta get a check for a couple commas. People won't bomb us. More people gotta scatter and run from us. Blame it on Zeus and Apollo and Adonis. But what you done here is put yourself between a bullet and a target. And it won't be long before you pulling yourself away. What you done here is put yourself between a bullet and a target. And it won't be long before you pulling yourself away. Years. She got dark, dark wavy hair with a voice that you just don't care. She got a skirt with another top. She got a daddy never gave her. She drink a beer with the mountains up. She got knocked up in a pickup truck. She got engaged when she was 19 to this dude who was acting insane. Had a 45 that he always claimed. Said one day, one too many days. Now we love that she ran away. Never to be heard from, never to be seen. I took the cover of a magazine. I'm just wondering how, just wondering how. What you done is put yourself between a bullet and a target. And it won't be long before you pulling yourself away. What you done is put yourself between a bullet and a target. And it won't be long before you're putting yourself away. What you done here is put yourself between a bullet and a target. And it won't be long before you're putting yourself away. Yeah, what you done is put yourself between a bullet and a target. And it won't be long before pulling yourself away.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo?
Reese on the Radio, and we are live right here on blogtalkradio.com. 11 minutes till the top of the hour. Plenty of stuff to get into. We have to talk about, of course, the nurse who killed herself in England, who committed suicide. Yeah, she committed suicide. We'll talk about that. We've got some more information about that. Also have to get into RG3, new developments in that. We'll talk about that in the next hour. For the remainder of this hour, I'd like to get into this story about Jevon Belcher. Now, Jevon Belcher, as many of you may know, is the NFL linebacker who played for the Kansas City Chiefs, who shot his girlfriend 9 times, then went to his practice facility in Kansas City, put a gun to his head, and offed himself. New reports are saying that the dispute between Jevon Belcher and his girlfriend, Cassandra Perkins, was about the paternity of their 3-month-old child. That there was an argument that ensued about whether or not Jevon Belcher was the father. Now, this doesn't change the whole dynamic of what it is that he did. We get it. Killed his girlfriend. But paternity is a huge thing in this. Because if you are with the woman 9 months, then have a 3-month-old child, in essence, you've been with this woman for a year going through this. Your wife goes out or your girlfriend goes out. She's at a Trey Songz concert. I don't know what that's about. I want to know, can you, JC, can we find out who the undercard was for the Trey Songz concert? Who, if it's a Trey Songz concert, who opened up for Trey Songz? I need to know that.
I can almost assure you it was Miguel. They were just here in Hartford the whole tour.
Hmm. Okay. So Miguel had about one or two hits.
Yeah, right. He's got the hottest song in the country right now.
Oh, does he?
Adorn? Yeah, that's a hot one.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I've heard Mary play it a couple of times on the radio.
That's a hot one. That's a real
whatever.
Hot one.
I'm not going to agree with you there.
What is?
Whatever. Who else is on this
credit.
Tour?
Who else is on it? I believe... They were here for... Hot 937's Hot Jam 12.
Okay, all right, fine. Okay,
yeah.
So it's an R&B thing. It's not like a hip-hop R&B thing.
No, because Ricky Rose is on that tour as well.
Rick Ross.
Yeah. Titties. All
right, whatever. Okay, so she goes to this concert, and it's a nigga fest. There's no denying that. Bang, bang, shoot 'em up, nigga die slow. It's all that's going on there. And his woman comes home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and there's an argument about the paternity of this child. Is it quite possible that an argument ensued about, were you out with that other, with the other baby daddy, or whatever? I don't know. It's quite possible. Did he just find out that somebody's sister's cousin, brother, turn around and tell him, yo, that ain't your baby, whatever. Did he just go eight, lose it, and end up popping shots into his girlfriend? I don't know. But again, a new dynamic. No one's talking about it. No one's even mentioned it. But it is in the news. If you look it up, it's around. No one's brought it up in the news because they've been distracted by this current shooting. But now the question is, here's the question. If guns are responsible, as these gun advocates, you know, these anti-gun advocates always promote, if the guns were the issue, wouldn't it be fair for me to say we need to have anti-slut legislation? I can't even get the words out. Shouldn't we have anti-slut legislation? Shouldn't we have that? Shouldn't we have, like, anti-whore legislation? Shouldn't we have some sort of deal where If you get pregnant, you got to have a shotgun wedding. No pun intended. You know, oh, you got her pregnant. Got to marry her. Got to do it in the church. I mean, shouldn't we have a federal mandate on that? Because then, you know, what if we every time you get a girl pregnant, so we can avoid men getting angry and shooting their women, how about we get a mandatory paternity test done for every girl that ends up pregnant during your tenure as her boyfriend? I mean, we just put government on everything. Wouldn't that just be the case? Wouldn't that just be the thing to do? We can't have these women dying. I mean, obviously there's a catalyst here. It wasn't the gun. The gun wasn't the catalyst here as to why she's dead. According to the reports, it's the paternity of their three-month-old. Shouldn't we try to prevent that? Maybe we should instill values in these niggas. Perhaps that may work. Maybe Javon Belcher, had he had the values of, say, Robert Griffin III. Huh? Mother and father still married? Former military? Believes in God, he's a Christian. I mean, if you really think about it, Javon Belcher was an outlaw, he was an outcast. I mean, I don't think the guns would have prevented anything. Here it was, he got some girl pregnant, moved her into his house, was living with her, lets her go out all night, hanging out at Trey Song's Rick Rosé concerts. I mean, he was already putting her life in danger for letting her do that. And I don't mean to be laughing about it, but come on. I mean, everything is a factor here as far as I'm concerned. Everything is a factor. Maybe he should have just kept her locked up. Right? I mean, you're just saying take the gun out of his hand. I say we prevent it at the beginning. If we can blame it on everything, we need to blame it on everything. The gun is just a product of everything else that was happening beforehand. The gun was an end result. Apparently, according to these stories, these reports, Cassandra Perkins was whoring and scoring. And Javon couldn't deal with it anymore. He was upset and angry. The gun ended up being a result of his anger. Perhaps we should train these women better. Perhaps Cassandra didn't have proper learnings as a child. Somebody posted this on Facebook today I thought was interesting. Beyonce dated, got married, and then had a child. But every nigga bitch in the hood idolizes her. And they're not doing it. They're not following my example. Isn't that interesting? Let's go to Sally B real quick. What's up, Sal?
Hey, not much, Reese. Not much. Crazy day. So a couple of things I'm not 100% sure on with this whole shooting incident. Did the kid that had the gun today, was he a legal owner of the gun?
No, the mother is.
So she's a gun owner, and she has this child who's autistic by what I'm hearing, right?
Right. The rumors are that the son, Adam Lanza, is autistic. And these are reports coming from the New York Post, who, the law enforcement officials have talked to the brother, Ryan Lanza, who said the last time he saw his brother was in 2010 and that his brother is autistic.
And so the kid lived with the mother who owned the weapon, right?
That's correct.
You know, so this is the thing about it. I mean, you see something like this, it's absolutely horrific. There's no, you know, there's...
No other way you can put it.
What's that?
No other way you can put it. You're absolutely right. It's horrific. It's the worst kind of horror.
But when you look at the way these things play out, why would a woman who's charged, if she's in teacher's aid or a teacher, it doesn't matter, she's still charged with
right.
the safety of children during the day.
Right.
What kind of sense does she have not making sure that a weapon like this is not in the reach of this child who clearly has emotional issues or whatever
That's
issue, however.
The bottom line, an autistic child at 20 years old, according to what people say about autism, it's just like having a five-year-old in the house. And you wouldn't leave a gun around to be accessed by a five-year-old.
I don't leave a pair of scissors in
That's
my son's reach.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, and there's another thing about this that, so that is just one thing I wanted to point out, but there's another thing about this that really bothers me having a young child myself,
mm-hmm.
is why. I mean, this is nothing new. After Columbine, similar to 9/11, you don't forget that. It's a lesson learned for the country. So why are these schools not armed and prepared? They can put up all the metal detectors they want. But if you don't have at least someone on the school premises, one or two people doing security who have some form of arms, in order to prevent something like this, a police response is going to take anywhere from 3 to 7 minutes in most cities. It's too late
right.
in 3 to 7 minutes.
But
so
if you were to ask
schools not prepared for this?
But see, you would ask the people at Sandy Hook and the reporters who are covering this story. The reporters who are up at Sandy Hook Elementary School are saying that they just installed this buzzer system that's in the school, right? And I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit. There's a buzzer system in the school. When you walk up to the school door, you buzz the door, there's a camera there to identify you. Someone identifies you, they see who you are. I don't know if there's an intercom system, but I guess whatever the case is, they then buzz you in and then the person is allowed in. Now, you can leave the place anytime you want, but in order for you to get in, you must be buzzed in once the school is on lockdown. Now, the part that bothers me about all of this quote-unquote conversation about the school's lockdown policy is this. How in the world does that prevent gun violence?
Exactly.
It doesn't. It doesn't prevent gun violence. Oh, the school is locked up and you can't enter in. But what if the kids are just sitting at their desks and the son of a bitch decides to just haul off and spray the school windows?
Exactly.
I mean, there's nothing here that prevents a maniac from doing evil things. There's nothing there to prevent it.
Well, hold on. Now, from what I'm hearing locally, someone in the principal's office, because apparently he went into the school and got into it with the principal first, and it got kind of got loud and elevated before the first shots rang out. Someone in the office tipped the PA system to let all the teachers know in the school that something was going popping off in the office, and they were going into lockdown at that point. But all of the children at that point knew to huddle over in the corner.
Well, JC, let me ask you this then: with all of the local reporting that's been going on about this, I'm going to ask you a very, very simple question. It's been reported by every outlet so far, not been disputed, the story has not been changed, that Adam Lanza entered that school with a vest and military-like garb when he entered the school. Military-like.
Right. Yeah, he went in
there. Question is, somebody walks up to the door dressed like that, how did he get in? He had to be buzzed in. Every report says...
Oh, yeah, no doubt he was buzzed in.
His mother was
You know, my thinking is he had to have been a presence at that school as his mom worked there. I'm sure he's been there.
I'm sure he's been there several times. He may have been a presence at the school, but an autistic kid is then hiding a rifle behind his back, right? Because he had a rifle, and he had two semi-automatic weapons. He had a rifle.
The rifle was in the car. He had two handguns.
Oh, so he used the handguns in the school.
Right.
Okay. All right, so fine. All right, that's legitimate then. That appears to be legitimate. Then that's he could get into school because he can conceal both of those weapons. So
right.
You're saying somebody recognized him because they recognized he's had access to the school. His mother is in a teacher's aide there. So whoever saw him at the door said, oh, that's Adam. Let him in.
Right.
Okay, that's feasible. That's plausible.
But guys, I get that. But you're telling me that these schools today don't have at least one person who's authorized to have a weapon locked up somewhere? Schools are targets. Malls are targets.
Since Columbine, absolutely. But here's the deal, Sal. Where are they arming these quote-unquote school safety officers, if you will? They're arming them at the high school. No one would have ever imagined this. Name the last time you've ever heard of a kindergarten school being shot up by a maniac. You've never heard this. This is automatically going to change. This is going to change everything. Every school is going to have an armed guard there. Every school is going to have a police officer positioned there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess. I mean, I don't want to say too much about my personal life, but I will say that I had a little discussion with certain people at a particular school about their security. And, you know, because in the back of my mind, you know, you are correct. You can't prevent one of these things from occurring, but you could have mitigated much of the death if they had one or two people on staff that could have responded appropriately.
100% right. You got to have somebody. This is the world that we live in. It's
right.
It's a post 9/11 world, and we've got to think about our safety in a domestic way. It ain't safe no more.
In Oregon. I was at the mall myself grabbing a quick lunch. And I was looking around, and this particular mall was packed. It's the mall they actually filmed Mall Call, the movie Mall Call.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mall, Reese, you remember. So, you know, I'm standing in the Burlington Mall, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, this place is packed, and I didn't see a single cop. You know, even for the holidays, you know these places are packed. You couldn't have one police officer on duty or some form of security staff that could respond to some kind of attack.
Absolutely.
The society we are today, it calls for it.
It's a very lackadaisical approach to a post 9/11 world, and you know when they get away with it, and you know, and nothing happens, you know, no damage is done. This is just a perfect example of the world that we live in. It's always, you know, it's sad, but, you know, places like Connecticut, places like Oregon, you know, where this stuff took place, they're always, and that's the truth, they're always reactionary. They're not very proactive. And
no, you know what, it's funny that you'd mention that, because recently, as far back as Black Friday, my girlfriend's son was recently interviewed on the news,
mm-hmm.
works at the mall, and it seemed like the mall's biggest thing this year, and I'm hearing it at different malls around the country, especially the big ones, nothing about police. It's more so about Big Brother and protecting lost goods, lost prevention.
You'll see 1,000 new camera systems in these malls, no question. You're absolutely right. Yet see absolutely zero police presence. And it amazes me because people congregate at malls for social reasons these days. Some people don't even spend money because they don't have it. So you get these people packed in like a sardine can, and you know that place is considered what's known as a soft target. And you don't put at least one cop there?
San Antonio
it's
winery.
Oops, sorry about that.
In the city of Los Angeles.
My apology. Sorry about that.
It's a little crazy not to have cops all over the place. I don't know. I mean, like, you get like a big one like Mall of America. I'm sure that they have their own police force.
Yeah, you
but
got
as
it.
Far as, like, as far as, like, these other malls, like Buckland, Buckland's a pretty sizable mall.
Oh, absolutely.
A pretty
it's got several
mall.
Wings. It's got Buckland Hills Mall in Connecticut. It's got several wings. There's no, I mean, in that kind of facility, you got to have police there.
You got to, yeah, you got to.
You got to have places like that. Anyway, let me do the top of the hour, guys, because I'm already 5 minutes in. 10 minutes in, for that matter. Let me do the top of the hour. I will be back because we've got to talk about two different stories that I got coming up. And Sal, thanks for calling in. I don't know where the hell everybody else is. That's no big deal. Anyway, I love you guys. Anyway, we'll get into that. We've got plenty more. We got the I got to get into RG3, and I got to get into this nurse that pulled this suicide in England. We'll be back. Stick around.
Hello, America. I'm Chuck Woolery with today's Save Us Chuck Minute. My fellow Americans, there is no doubt that it's tragic when anyone takes the life of another without cause, but to blame assault weapons would be like blaming airplanes for the 9/11 attack. The problem lies with the perpetrator, not the gun. So why should we have assault weapons? Number one, the Constitution. It's still the law of the land, and the Second Amendment says I have the right to bear arms. Number two, it allows for people to protect themselves even from the government if necessary. Lessons learned from living under King George. Number three, the threat of armed citizens deters foreign invaders, like Japan in World War II, who feared we would have a rifle behind every blade of grass. Number four, all guns are dangerous in the wrong hands, so it makes no sense to selectively ban some. Number five, the gun industry employs about 184,000 people. Ban the guns, those people become unemployed. Or isn't unemployment a problem anymore? I'm Chuck Woolery. To talk to me directly, go to Twitter at Chuck Woolery.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, L-O-V-E-I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
All right, come on, let's finish this. Give it to me. Show me what you're made of. Show me what you've learned. Don't let me down, son. Everything I've taught you comes down to this. This is the only way that you can hope to survive, because life is not a movie. Everyone lies. Good guys lose. And love does not conquer all. So let's do this thing. Let's finish it.
Reese on the Radio, and we are back right here, 12 minutes after the hour on blogtalkradio.com. It is December the 14th, 2012, and as I said, very, very somber day, but we are all happy that it is the weekend. Folks, I have some good news for you. Reese on the Radio officially today has expanded. Now, I was saving this. I don't know exactly. Well, I do know exactly when this is happening. But it's going to intermittently happen within the next couple of days. It is official. There is no dispute. There won't be any arguments. There won't be any crap that, like, happened in March with WLVS. And God bless those guys. But there won't be any crap with that. Reese on the Radio is expanding to a very big audience. It started tonight. I've been doing all day setting it up, working it out. And Reese on the Radio is going to expand to poochfm.com. And that's P-O-O-C-H-F-M.com. We're setting up the arrangements for a midday show. And how it is that we're going to do it, I'm working it out on exactly how it's going to do, but it's going to grow the entire brand of Reach on the Radio to a broader audience. Poochman, who's a former morning host on 100.3 The Beat, has his own network, and it's online, and you can catch it anywhere and everywhere. He's got
that is
a plethora
monster.
Of hopes. Say again?
That is monster.
Yeah. So, thanks. So today he actually aired some pieces. He's been putting in some of my we've been doing this thing today called Reese's Rants, which I played for him. You know, I email them to him. He plays them on the show, and he gives me as much time as I want. If I want to do 10 minutes, I can do 10 minutes. If I want to do 6 minutes, do 3, whatever. And it's about topics of the day, and that's what we've been doing so far, but so far, he and I are having a conversation right now for a midday show on his network. What's great about this is the advertising potential on Pooch FM, because there are plenty of advertisers on his network who are there now, and that will grow as this grows, as Reese on the Radio, and I think it's appropriate that this happens, of course, right as we are approaching our one-year anniversary. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're still going to do our Blog Talk Radio show, but it's great to have it expanded. We have more of a presence. The Twitter and Facebook presence will be larger, be huger. And, of course, what makes it better, this is for me personally, we will be reaching the ghetto. Which will make for broader conversation.
Back on your
argument.
Way to being the most hated man, most hated Negro on radio.
You know that's always been my dream, my friend.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, even Star told my...
You deserve it.
Even Star told the district attorney that.
But no, dude, you deserve it.
He said he wanted to be the most hated man on radio. Even Star told the district attorney that. So, what the hell?
It is what it is. But you know what? Congratulations, you deserve it. You work hard for it. You've been to hell and back. And it takes a little personal vindication.
Yeah, absolutely.
A personal in a big, big way because, come on, I used to listen to Pooch and Laia back on 100.3 The Beat back in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I told you from Connecticut, Tasha McKee had gone to that station at one point.
That's right, Tasha
that's
McKee.
Why, that's
she
why I followed her to that station.
She had a hot little song out for a little while, too.
What's that?
She had a hot little song out for a little while.
Oh, yeah. I got time to
hey, see if you can forward me that song. I like that song. That was song pretty hot.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. I got a personal story behind that song, but we'll talk about it later.
Okay. But yeah, Pooch FM. That's going to be happening really, really soon. Poochman and I are in conversations now. It's already a done deal. He's already started airing some segments. I'll probably play them at the end of the show. I'll post them. On, you know what I'll do? If you'd like to hear them, I will post them on either ReeseOnTheRadio.com or I'll put them right here on Blog Talk Radio for the weekend. If you'd like to go in and listen to them, I'll post them on the I'll put them together and I will put them on the Blog Talk Radio site so you can go to them and you can listen to the pieces. I did 3 of them. One is about, of course, the shooting in Connecticut. The other about RG3, and I believe the third, if I want to remember this because I know it was about, why is it escaping me now? The third one is escaping me now. No, not about the nigger song. RG3, the shooting, and, why is it escaping me? I cannot think, it'll come to me, I promise. I'll find it, I'll play it, and I'll let you know.
Was it the football player and the baby wasn't his?
No, it wasn't about that.
Oh.
It was a long one, too.
Was it?
I mean, I was ranting, like, viciously about this one. But it'll come to me. I'll find it in due time. I apologize that I can't remember it now. I feel so bad that I can't remember it at this moment because it's totally escaping me. It was something, I know it was something that I thought was very, very near and dear to me. You know, everything, for that matter, is near and dear to me. I always say something is important to me, even though it generally isn't. I just ramble on for no particular reason about something that I'm ticked off about, but I'll find it. And I feel so embarrassed that I can't remember what it was, but it'll come to me. Anyway, so poochfm.com, check it out if you get a chance. Well, you shouldn't check it out now. If you check it out now, if you're going to listen to great music, because they've got everything from rock to rap to everything on there now. If you're interested in checking out a new online venture as far as music and personalities are concerned, check them out now. But I will give you the details, I promise, very soon about what it is that we're doing, when the show will air, and that's pretty much it. That's about all I can tell you. Oh, that's what it was. Okay, I remember. It was my conversation with Magneto. So you've already heard this one. It was my conversation with Magneto yesterday about his Jewish hate. That's what it was. So that aired today as well. So anyway, we'll get into all that. Now, let me get to this story. Since before we go to the break. The woman at the center of this suicide that happened in England, it appeared at the time that the woman was so embarrassed that she gave the call by the two radio DJs in Australia access to the nurse in charge of taking care of Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge. And when I first heard this story, as many of you did, that a nurse had committed suicide, we thought it was the woman who was on the audio giving up all this information. She's dehydrated, she's doing well, she's sleeping now. We all thought that the woman who pretty much dominates the conversation with the Australian DJs, we thought this woman had killed herself due to the embarrassment. But we found out later on that it was just the woman who answered the phone and transferred the call. That the woman who picked up the phone and said, "Hello, this is the such and such hospital," whatever. Here's the audio. Here it is.
"We've been handed a phone number, and we have been told that this phone number is the hospital where Kate Middleton is currently staying. Now, we thought we'd give it a call. We don't want to cause any trouble.
Yeah.
We don't want to stress her out because she's doing it tough.
Yeah.
But I reckon we can maybe get her on the radio tonight."
Look, I don't know. I mean, everybody would be trying.
Well, this is why I thought of a plan. We can't just ring up and go, "Hi, it's MC and Mel from the Summer 30. Can we chat to Kate?" Hang up. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
You are going to be the Queen.
This is awesome.
I'm going to be Prince Charles.
I'm the Queen.
Ben and Em, you're involved in this as well. We thought that maybe you could be the Royal Corgis, if you're okay with that. Yeah, exactly.
Sure, we'll pop on in
we'll
a bit.
Come into the studio. Yeah, I'm going to dial this number.
This is fun. Oh, I mean, this is fun.
Yes, yeah. So you're going to be the Queen.
Hello, I'm the Queen.
Hello, Prince Charles of the Hill,
Mummy. Prince Charles. Mm-hmm. I like your ears.
And Ben and Em are going to be the Royal Corgi. So let's give this hospital a call.
Okay.
And see if we can get Kate Middleton or maybe even Prince Wills on the phone tonight. So the number's going in. Oh, jeez, I hope this happens.
Hello, good morning, King Edward VII Hospital.
Oh, hello there. Could I please speak to Kate, please, my granddaughter?
Oh, yes, just hold on.
Thank you.
That's it.
She says, okay, Mom, hold on. And now she's dead. Now, people were speculating that the reason why she killed herself was because of these horrible Australians who are obviously having a blast doing this. This is fun. This is fun. They're having a blast. Woman just says, oh, okay, I'll transfer the call. I don't know if she's a receptionist. Apparently she's a nurse, but she's not a receptionist. Okay, no problem. I'll transfer you right now. She doesn't know who has access to that number. I'll transfer you to the wing that's there. She ends up dead. Now, everyone is putting this on the show. Show's been canceled. They've been put on hiatus indefinitely. But did anybody read the news today about the suicide note that the nurse left? There are three. And yours truly, Reese on the Radio, predicted what happened. What happened that caused this woman to kill herself? That's right. Reese on the Radio got it right again. It turns out that this suicide notes that she left doesn't talk about the Australian radio station. It talks about the higher-ups at the hospital she worked for, who ridiculed her, disrespected her, insulted her, berated her, and they made her feel so horrible. Because according to the story, when no one was saying, well, everyone said that the royal family should be upset that people got through and information was leaked. But rightly so, the royal family called up the hospital and ripped them a new one. But what did the hospital do in response to that? Instead of gathering the subordinates around and saying, folks, come on, guys, we can't let this happen. This was horrible protocol. We're all over the news. People are making fun of us. This is national. You guys have got to be diligent. Make sure you check out who calls. People do that. If Kate has to come back here, imagine if they never come to this hospital again. That would be the proper way to go. But no, they didn't. According to the suicide note, these people, the higher-ups, the employees, they were disrespecting this woman something awful. Anybody remember what it is that I said? Anybody remember what it was that I said that I predicted? Kill yourself. How dare you let that phone call get here? Oh, you just ought to go home and kill yourself, you wicked bitch. Now with the ridicule of the world, you dumb idiot bitch, you should kill yourself. And sure enough, that's what happened. Three separate suicide notes. Two of them. The woman is going after her employers. Her employers who ripped her apart, who tore her a new one and made an example of her. They berated her so bad that she took her own life. They bullied her, folks. That's what they did. This fragile woman, because she was obviously fragile, she killed herself. This vulnerable, fragile woman, they berated her so much, she took her own life. That's pretty disgusting, don't you think? Where's the reports on that? Are we really going to ignore it? They should all be ashamed of themselves. But I'm not ashamed of myself. I got it right. Again, as I always do. I'm just that good, folks. Get used to it. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating, star. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
What is my bidding, honest?
Don't go anywhere. Reasonable Radio returns right here on blogtalkradio.com.
On the radio, and we are back live. That was The Cult, She Sells Sanctuary, one of my favorite songs. Every time I hear it, I can't help but dance. It's the little girl in me. But I love that song a lot. Anyway, 38 minutes after the hour, I'm reading some more reports about Adam Lanza. I want to get into this RG3 thing real quick. We've got about 22 minutes till the end of the show. I want to get into this because there's now this this part of the story. The Associated Press is reporting that Adam Lanza and his mother lived in a well-to-do part of Newtown where neighbors are doctors or hold white-collar positions at places like General Electric, Pepsi, and IBM. But this is where I get a little angry at Drudge Report sometimes, is because his link to the story reads this, folks, and bear with me, because I couldn't believe I was reading this, and I went, I want to read that. It's the top of Drudge Report. When you go there, it says, meds, question mark. Shooter suffered from personality disorder, obviously not well, intelligent and shy. Now, I'm going to the obviously not well link on Drudge Report. Okay, and this is coming from Brian Ross at ABC News. You know, the one who said that John Holmes of the Aurora, Colorado shooting was a member of the Tea Party. But anyway, it says, Adam Lanza of Newtown, Connecticut, was a child of the suburbs and a child of divorce, who at age 20 still lived with his mother. This morning, he appears to have started his day by shooting his mother, Nancy, in the face and then driving to nearby Sandy Hook Elementary School armed with at least two handguns and at least one semi-automatic rifle. There, before turning the gun on himself, he shot at least 20 children, who President Obama described, yeah, okay, why are we injecting President Obama, Jesus? Anyway, a relative told ABC News that Adam was obviously not well. Family friends in Newton also described the young man as troubled and described Nancy, his mother, as very rigid. Adam was not connected with the other kids, said one friend. State and federal authorities believe his mother may have once worked at the elementary school where Adam went on his deadly rampage, although she was not a teacher, according to relatives, perhaps a volunteer. Nancy and her husband, Peter, who are Adam's father, divorced in 2009. When they first filed for divorce in 2008, a judge ordered they participate in a parenting education program. Peter Lanza, who drove to northern New Jersey to talk to police and the FBI, is a vice president at GE Capital. Ooh. And had been a partner at global accounting giant Ernst & Young. Adam's older brother, Ryan Lanza, 24, has worked at Ernst & Young. See, I looked at his Facebook page earlier today, and he had a lot of friends on his Facebook page that worked at Ernst & Young. He's worked there for 4 years, apparently following in his father's footsteps and carving out a solid niche in the tax practice. He, too, was interviewed by FBI. Neither he or his father are under any suspicion. Of course, we know that. Ryan is a tax guy. He is clean as a whistle, a source familiar to his work said. Police had initially identified Ryan as a killer. Yeah, even I did that. I thought he was the killer because that's what everybody else was saying. Investigators are looking into whether Adam Lanza was carrying his older brother's identification at the time of the shooting, which may have caused the confusion. So, JC, this kid's pretty well-to-do. And
yeah, I don't think that you were listening to me today. I said they're from a very, very ritzy neighborhood.
Well, you didn't say that they were a ritzy family.
Oh yeah, no. If you look at the house on the street and the neighborhood where they're from, that's like $20 a trick or treat. You know what I mean?
Right.
Lady runs out of candy, starts handing out $20 bills. Very, very ritzy neighborhood.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, as the developments come, I'm so sick and tired of Keith Ablow. Look, I hate to crap on the guy. He's a nice guy. I've met him. We've talked. We've great conversations. But I'm sick of you today, Keith Ablow. Just please, dude, I don't want to hear about the mental state of a kid who may have autism. Knock it off. You're going to be so wrong on this, and everybody's going to act like you never said a thing. Anyway. Let me get into more important things. RG3, As you all heard yesterday, RG3 did some sort of interview where he talked about, he's not going to be identified by his blackness. And ESPN contributor Rob Parker, who was on ESPN2's First Take, took issue with that, talking about how RG3, Robert Griffin III, of the Washington Redskins, is sort of distancing himself from being African American. He has issue with that. And knowing that there was going to be some backlash, and there was, Drudge Report made it their feature story yesterday. We covered it here on Reason Radio. Everyone has talked about it. Even Rush Limbaugh made it a subject on his show. And of course he did, because he feels somewhat vindicated about the whole Donovan McNabb mishap that happened some years ago. On ESPN, Boomer and Michael Irvin and Tom Jackson, all those guys. So the fact that this has happened, has sparked some controversy and some conversation. Now that conversation, unfortunately, is going to die for a little while because no one's going to want to talk about it now after this tragedy. It will be the focal point of many people. But let me just say this, with all of that's going on, because I don't focus just on the same old BS over and over again. I like to have an entertaining show. I'm not going to spend 2 hours talking about it, as Greta Van Susteren on Fox News is going to dedicate 2 hours to this tragedy. With no offense, folks, the shooter is dead. And so are these 20 children and 6 adults. Okay? The reporting, if you will, is over until we find out why he did it. And if he's autistic, retarded, mentally ill, okay? And if that's the case, if we find out that he's autistic, mentally ill, retarded, whatever it is you want to call, once that's been established, the conversation is over. Other than grieving for the children. Now you're forced to identify the children and deal with their short and little lives. But Robert Griffin III, because he chooses not to be what Rob Parker says is authentically black, he has a problem with that. Well, ESPN has responded by suspending Rob Parker indefinitely. And let me be the first to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that was the appropriate step to take. Now, you thought I was going to say he should have been fired, right? I don't like that nigga, so he should be fired. Absolutely not. Now, do I think that they will eventually fire him? Absolutely. Why? Because they're going to really, really deal with some backlash by their viewers. They're going to have some problems with that. ESPN is supposed to be a brand that when they talk about race, they're supposed to handle it delicately. And Rob Parker did not do that. He showed a very, very disgusting side of black racism today. And it's black-on-black racism. And I don't think ESPN wants to be a part of that. It's not okay to harm the brand that ESPN is trying to sell, if you get my meaning. You see, ESPN is going to cover Robert Griffin, and if he does make the playoffs, they will cover him extensively. His next year with the Redskins, they're going to cover him again, like they did much of Cam Newton his second year. All the endorsements and all that stuff, they will grow. And ESPN will be right there. If there's a Robert Griffin story, they will be there. He will be featured. He will be talked about. Whether or not he's an elite quarterback, whether or not he'll get better, whether or not he'll have the sophomore jinx. That's their bread and butter. So to have somebody on the airwaves talking about Robert Griffin III and suggest, well, I don't know if he's down for the cause or he's a real brother. They're harming the product that ESPN sells, and that is sports I hate using this word, personality, because that's what they're trying to, I mean, that's what ESPN is. It's about personality. You know, they're right there getting the exclusive ESPN conversation. They're putting personality out on the forefront for their, what, do you want to know everything sports? ESPN has got your fill. They're selling the product. ESPN is literally nothing more than a conduit for you to get face-to-face and up close and personal with your favorite sports stars. And if there's someone out there destroying the product, if you will, then they're against that, and they're going to have to either check Rob Parker at the door or say, get the F up out of here. It's time to go. You're not helping. RG3, people like him. Washington loves him. I don't give a damn what you're hearing in the barbershop. If they're in the barbershop on Sunday, they're not in the stands on Sunday. If your little nigger friends are in the barbershop talking about RG3 and whether or not he's black enough, well, guess what? I can't sell black enough on ESPN because nobody's interested in that. You want to talk about black enough? Pac-Man Jones. He's not on this program. You want to talk about black enough? Huh? You want to talk about black enough? Maurice Claret. Let's go there. How about Marcus Vick? What did they do with Michael Vick when he got caught with the quote-unquote dog fighting scandal? Were they trying to sell him? No. So that authentic down for the cause stuff, we're not interested. Robert Griffin III is adored by all people, be they black or white. Don't you dare destroy him. Get the F up out of here. He will eventually be fired. Oh, he'll come back. I could be wrong. But I don't think ESPN wants that on their brand. Because it will sit around and it will fester. And people will talk about it. Every time that this guy analyzes something, there are going to be people who are going to be saying, I don't like this guy. I don't like his race-baiting nature. Get him the F off the screen. Let him write on the website or something. And that's going to be the response. Sally D is back. Hello, Sally.
Hey, Reese. Hey, real quick, you know, after we talked about this the other day, I happened to hear the clip again and, you know, his comments. And I was thinking to myself after hearing it again and again, the more you hear it, the more you realize how really out of line it was. You know, I mean, even when I first heard it, it was out of line. But the more you hear it, the more it begins to bother you, at least for me. The more I heard it, the more I realized how over the top the comments were. And not to mention, and you touched on it, football, this kid's an exciting player. I want to see what he does in the field. I want to hear about the excitement he brings to the game, maybe something about his personality, but in a positive way, because he brings something new to the game. And that's what sports should be about. You know, bring the color to the game. I mean, color as in a colored. I mean, but, you know, the colorful aspects of sports are getting to know the player personality, not the garbage that this guy's around. Who's that playing to? I mean, isn't the majority of, I don't really know the breakdown, but I would be willing to bet that it's at least 50% white audience for football, right?
Yeah, oh, listen, of course it is. But, you know, here's an interesting question, Sal, and I'll get to Edward in Connecticut in a second because I got to talk to him about what's going on in his town. But here's what makes me laugh. Everyone in the business knows that Tom Brady of the New England Patriots is a conservative. Everybody knows it. Has it ever been a question? Has it ever been a question? Never. And no one would ever bring it up. Most sports writers are liberal. But no one's ever brought up Tom Brady and disparaged him in any way by the way he plays. No one's ever sit up there and criticized him in a way. Everybody says Tom Brady's the best. Tom Brady's the freaking – he's the man. He's going to win a fourth Super Bowl. He's a guaranteed Hall of Famer. You never hear anybody talk about anything about his political leanings. Not one thing.
I didn't even know he was conservative. Yeah, interesting.
Oh, yeah. I hate him, and he's a conservative. But you know why I hate him? Because he keeps whipping my Jets' ass. I hate him because he's good. That's the one reason. That's why I hate Kobe. When Kobe used to whip our ass all the time every time he comes into town. It used to get me mad.
I got to hear what Edward has to say today after.
Hey, Edward, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Bruce, how you doing? You know, you guys want to talk to me about the case in Connecticut, but my wife and I have been on vacation for the past few days. And we didn't find out about this until about 4 o'clock this afternoon, maybe 3 or 4 o'clock, which is, it's a terrible situation. You know, we're still – actually, I don't know anybody in Newton. Our family – you know, most of our family is in New York. My wife has a former boss of hers who does live in the town of Newton, and I'm not sure, you know, if he is, you know, affected by this or not. I'm sure he's affected because it's a very small town, but we don't know if he's personally – yeah, we don't know if anything personally has happened to him yet, you know, because we've been pretty much out of contact, you know, from everybody for these past few days, which is why I haven't been calling in. But, you know, it's very, you know, it's terrible. It's horrible. You know, I have no words, you know, to describe what's going on there.
How far is this town from you guys?
I would say maybe if you took a drive, maybe about 20 minutes or so, you know, depending on traffic.
Well, that's a considerable distance.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like like New Haven is, you know, practically 2 seconds away from us, but Newton is not that close. But,
right,
you know, everything in Connecticut is about, you know, from where we live, about 20, 30 minutes away, depending on traffic sometimes.
Right, right. Well, JC was already pinning it on your town. He says, oh, man, you crazy. That's right near Edward in Connecticut. Well, you know, he's Hartford hating. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
This is neck of the woods.
Yeah, yeah. I live more south. I'm more south than Hartford, so it definitely is closer to my town than it is to Hartford.
Did you want to comment on the RG3 Rob Parker thing?
Actually, it was something else I wanted to comment on.
Sure.
Which would piss me off so much it made me get out my goddamn jacuzzi.
Wow!
You talked about some dude who was speaking yesterday. His name was Magneto.
Yeah.
I think you said, okay, and he has some hate against Jews?
Yes.
Does this dumb nigger know that Magneto was a Jew?
Magneto from X-Men, right?
Exactly, he's Jewish. Does this dumb nigger know that?
You know, but he gives Reese great sound bites, and let's face it, isn't that what it's all about?
That stuff, he absolutely does. Oh, I love him when he calls, man. I love him when he calls. I mean, it's for me.
But I mean, how silly is it to call a radio station and complain about Jews, people that's Jewish, people that, but then you take the moniker of a fictional character who's actually Jewish and survived the Holocaust?
Right. In fact, part of his anger and disdain for everyone is literally rooted in his in the quote unquote the World War II in anti-Jewish sentiment of Hitler and the Third Reich. Like, that's his, anyone who opposes him, he believes it, not just because he's a mutant, because he's a Jew as well.
You know, Reese, this is why I'm glad that you got this you know, connection with Pooch Radio.
Yeah.
And you said you're going to be the most hated Negro in radio. But that's only until you let me get on the air. Because you know I will give these Negroes no slack with their bullshit.
Edward, you know for a fact, and Sal and White Mike and Dennis and each and every one of you men who call every, you know, you have a it's an open door policy for each and every one of you men. Whenever you call, you know, if you're a part of my family and a part of my team, you've made this show as interesting as it could ever be, and a pleasure to do every night, man. So you
that's
know that.
That's great news, Reese, though. I mean, you're going to have a much bigger audience, and I think basically what you bring, it's something that's going to be noticed. So just let's give it some time, and I think it's going to work out for you. I'm very happy for you.
I'm really excited about doing it. I can't wait. I just can't wait till it starts. So I'm already getting it ready. Pooch has already listened to the show. He likes the format. He likes the way that he loves everything it is that I do. He loves the way that I present it. And he likes the fact that I just spark controversy, but I do it with content and with some texture, if you will. So he's really, really made me feel welcome, and it made the experience seem like it's going to be promising. So I thank you guys for all of your well wishes. Don't worry, you are not going anywhere, Edward, Sal, White Mike. You guys are going nowhere. You're coming and joining the ride with me, so you better expect me to make sure that you are there.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. Edward, thank you, man, and we're glad everybody in the family is a little concerned. We just want to make sure that you're okay. Did you have a good vacation?
Oh, yeah, I'm still on vacation. I won't be back home until, Monday night.
Okay.
The place looks pretty nice, Edward. Enjoy it.
Thanks.
Can you say where you are, being extremely specific?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm at this place called the Inn at Lake Joseph, which is in Forestburg, New York. If you take a look at my my Facebook page, you'll see the link to it.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll check it out, man. Well, enjoy the rest of your vacation, folks. That's our show for tonight. It's 10 o'clock. Everybody have a beautiful weekend and try to. Don't let this car do. Yeah, go ahead, JC.
Close it out with Tasha Makia.
No, well, close out with Tasha Makia then. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did already. I already uploaded it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
We'll see you guys on Friday, on Monday. Same bad time, same bad time.
Hey, local artists, Connecticut, guys.